yourself. You don't need anyone else.
When I look back and think things over, yes, Lord, I've been blessed. I've been true. How many know you've been blessed? Come on, how many know you've been blessed? Well, in spite of blessing, no matter what I'm going through, I've still been blessed. The song where it says, I'm blessed, I'm better than blessed. Thank you, Lord. Anybody want to praise the Lord?
I said, anybody want to praise the Lord? Because I've been blessed. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Now, I might not look too good on the inside. Might not look like things are going to happen. But I heard Jesus say, said I not unto thee. If thou should have believed that you'll see the Lord. Anybody want to see God's glory? You got to praise him in spite of it. Hallelujah. Amen. We bless this afternoon and we thank God. Amen. We welcome everyone this afternoon to the Agape Apostolic Church of Deliverance. Where we serve, can we say it together? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. I heard James say that even the devil knows there's one God and that he trembles. Hallelujah. Ain't nothing like a one God church. Can we say one God? Lord, we bless you and we thank you. Amen. Today we are blessed. Amen. In spite of what may be taking place, we are blessed. But the devil's job is to make you see the problem and make you miss the blessing. The devil gets us to focus on all the problems. Lord knows, and we forget the blessings. But I thank God for God blessing you all in our absence. My wife and I, we bless the Lord for my wife. And amen for her strength to go to Georgia back in just a couple of days. And I did speak to my aunt, you know, it was a surprise. I spoke to my aunt this morning. She said, you don't know how you made our day. Amen. You know, she said, travel that far. But it was such a blessing being at the retirement ceremony. Amen. And, you know, I learned a lot. I used to preach like my uncle, but I guess I got messed up when I got up north. But nevertheless, amen. He said, but you know, one of the things that we as saints need to learn is we can't let our body dictate our praise. We can't let our circumstances dictate our praise. My uncle has dementia. I don't know, he's 80-something. He's up there in the 80s. And they wanted to bring him a mic. And this is how we ought to be. You know, we need to try to eliminate. Now, there's times when you can't. Yeah, he has Parkinson's disease also. He's had I don't know how many bypasses from his heart. He wanted to keep preaching, but the church made him stop. Because the doctor told him he didn't want to raise his voice too much. So they wanted to bring him the mic down where he was sitting at. And old timers aren't weak. I said, old timers ain't weak. He's like, no, I'll go back up to the pulpit. And so they helped him, and like he's really weak. So they helped him up to the pulpit, and he started talking. He was a little weak, but then God touched him. He said, can I pull it just one more time? And I mean, he pulled it. You know, and it shows, I learned from old timers. Like I said, I learned from Bishop Leon Williams, who went to Milltown, and he came straight from dialysis to church. And I said, Bishop, you didn't want to go home? And I'll never forget, this has left an impression on me. That's why I'm going to come to church no matter what. He said, I'm not going to let anything keep me out of church. He said, yes, I'm weak. Yes, my body's beat up. He said, but I won't let nothing stop me from getting to God. How many of us have that testimony? Now, I'm not talking about a mental weakness that we think we got. I'm talking about he's physically weak. And when, like I said, when my uncle did what he did, yep, these are both in the 80s. That's not going to be my measuring stick for pressing. My measuring stick for pressing over. Amen. So I'll press on in spite of it. You all know, all of y'all know that I spent those 10 days messing around with the doctors, messing me up in the hospital. They were doing their best, but they still messed me up. But when I came out, you know, I think, now, men, I can't mess with the women. I can talk about men. Can we say talk about men? Oh, talk about men, because I don't think men are supposed to be weak, right? Talk to me. Men ain't supposed to be weak. See, know, so we can have challenges, but we're supposed to press. So when I came, I was leaving the hospital, and Tanya remembers, Jazz remembers, my wife remembers. My feet and legs were so swollen, I had to cut my shoes open to get my feet in. Amen. I'm going to talk about me. This is how I am to God, but I appreciate all that God did for me. He said, well, aren't you going home? I said, nope, I'm going to church. Amen. And they, when I was leaving, they said, well, don't you go, want to go in a wheelchair? I was like, nope, sign of weakness. Couldn't hardly walk. Matter of fact, I took a justice and Giovanni somewhere. They said, Grandpa, can you make it? I was like, but I made it. You know, somebody said, weren't you ashamed? No, because I was moving. Amen. I was still moving, so I was not ashamed. Do y'all remember we were trying to walk across the street and cars was coming? I told y'all, go ahead. That's how bad I was. I couldn't even make it across the street. But I wouldn't let that stop me from coming to church. If we don't get past allowing our circumstances to dictate how we worship God. I heard Jesus say, the time is coming, and can we say has come? When the true, do we have any true worshipers? The true worshipers shall worship the Lord in spirit and connect that. It ain't just the spirit, but you gotta do it in. Now somebody said, well, I just couldn't make it. Is that in truth? All right, I'm going to mess it up. Let's stand for the scripture reading. Amen. I don't know, but I'm just saying, I remember as a kid growing up, I played sports. And, you know, I broke my wrist in two places. I hit the ball. They said, oh, you can't play sports. The next day, I said, nobody tells me what I can do. I'm paying for it today. I should have listened. I should have listened. Back then, but I'm talking about right now. Well, what I'm saying is, what I do, I say, you know, if I did that when I wasn't saved for a worldly something, how much more am I going to press over now that I am saved for God? If I did it for a worldly whatever it was, I'm going to press for God, amen? So every time I don't feel like it, I think back to when I wasn't saved. Amen. Sometimes we need to look back. Nevertheless, yes. Yeah. Yeah, those were our stories we told kids growing up, you know. Yeah, I got to be by. That's one of those stories. You got to tell some stories sometimes. By shark and hit behind trees, all getting shot up in Vietnam. I know all that, but nevertheless, God is good. Amen. But you know, today, what we want to focus on, you know, I don't know how this is going to turn out. We want to focus on our worship, amen, how we present ourselves before God. How, if we're not careful, listen, if we're not careful, we will let the standards of the world dictate how we serve God. If we're not careful, you know, you ever, when you first got saved, you ever heard somebody say, well, you're too young to serve the Lord. That ain't God. Amen. Because many of the kings in Israel began to reign when they were young. So if we're not careful, then our subject today is you got to let it go. What you got to let go? You got to let go of what the world says about salvation. Amen. What did I say start at? Let's see. Actually, let's go to Romans chapter 12. Let's start in Romans chapter 12. There's only two verses, and that'll give you all a chance to sit down. We have to change how we present ourselves before God. What the world accepts as a standard of righteousness, God does not accept that. Amen. The dictates of the world. So verse 1 reads, we're going to just read verses 1 and 2. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your, that reasonable service, that means just your spiritual worship. All right? If you cross it in the Greek, that reasonable service means that's your spiritual worship. But what is it? Go back again. Listen, this is your spiritual worship. Your spiritual worship is predicated on you presenting your body a living sacrifice, holy and not unto the world, but unto who? Not unto your husband or wife, but unto not unto your friends, but unto. That is your reasonable service or your spiritual. Can we say spiritual worship? And be not. So we're talking about living sacrifice. What is the rival or the challenge to a living sacrifice conforming to the world? You can't present yourself holy before God, thinking and acting like the world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye. You be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which he made. Not just, I'm not just going to go through the action, but I'm going to prove this. Can we say prove it? You got to prove it. Talk is cheap. You got to prove what is that good, acceptable, and Lord, we bless your name on this afternoon. And we thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you that in a time of need, you are a present help. Lord, we thank you today that your word, hallelujah, can find us out. And our hearts and eyes tonight, today, Lord, from the pulpit to the back door, is find us out. Lord, if there be any weakness in us, Lord, find it out. Lord, if there be any way contrary, Lord, we ask you to find it out. And then send your word to heal, deliver, and set free. And for this, we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Yes.
Amen. You may be seated. So you got to let it go. You know, a lot of our impression of what God is based on the world. Well, when it comes to presenting your bodies, what kind of sacrifice? Now, if we go back in Israel history, you know, Jesus was the greatest what? Sacrifice. But he had to what? Die. Right? So sacrifices usually have to die. But God said, I don't want you to die, but while you living, I want you to be a. You know what Jesus, he said, no man takes my life. This is a living sacrifice. You know, a whole lot of stuff, I don't like this, I don't like that. We ain't talking about what you like. We talking about presenting your body as a. Yes, Jesus said when they came to him, he said, I could have called my father. And he could have sent 12 legions of angels. But I'm presenting my body a living sacrifice. Means that we have to die out to ourselves even though we are alive. A living sacrifice. We have to let go of the things of this world. The precondition. How many know everybody was born was conditioned by the world? I don't care if you grew up in church. When you went to school, you were in church, right? And when you went on whatever you went on, most of the time, the influence is not church, but it's what? So the world leaves an impression on the church. So in presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, the sacrifice, number one, is we have to get the world now out of us. Right? Because we're used to doing it according to the standards of the world. That's why we have to be transformed by the. You gotta let the world go. You gotta let what the world says, right? Go. Amen. You know, growing up, as I said, I've had uncles, aunts, all through my young life said, well, God don't want you to do this. God wants you to do what he tells you to do. Right? So if you're gonna present your body a living sacrifice, how can you be a living sacrifice if you're holding on to so many of your ways? Jesus said, I do always the things that what? I'm a living sacrifice. I do the things that please. So no man take my life. He said, I'm God, and if I wanted to, I could change this situation. But I lay it down for my Father. How many of us today are really willing to lay it down? Now we're talking about a living sacrifice. Amen. We're not talking about picking and choosing. Amen? Y'all don't leave me by myself, right? So we don't want to conform to this world. We want to be. Well, how do we transform ourselves? By the renewing of our mind. What that renewing?
renovation. That's like if you buy a house, a lot of y'all are buying houses. You know, some part of your house you don't like, right? So you gotta do what? Renovate it. You gotta change it. If that house represents the 1800s, for say, unless you go on the National Historic Registry. If your house represents the 1800s, this is now 2014, almost 15, Lord willing, you can't have that. So you have to have some changes. In our soul, we need to have some changes. Because too much of us has not yet been transformed. Now let's go to, before we go, we're going to go to James chapter 1. Now, the challenge to being like God is being like, the challenge is being like the world, right? The world, just think, when you do something, do you do it based on the word or the world? They both are W-O-R. Well, one is an L-D, right? And one is a D. Someone needs to take the L out. Because some of our word ain't the word, but it's the word. W-O-R-L-D is what?
Word.
W-O-R-D is?
Word.
Some of us need to take the L out. Right? We need to live by God's word. They are the same except for one letter changes the whole meaning of word and word from word to world. But you gotta take that one, you know, it's not a whole lot of letters. How many letters is it? What is the one thing that's keeping you tied to the world that you won't let go of? Amen? Alright, we'll go to James chapter 1, verse 21 first. Let's go to 121. We're going to read from 21 to the end. Now, we don't want to be like what? The world. There are some things that we have, some ways we develop. We got to let them, you got to let it go. You know, it's impossible, as we put on the screen, to walk with God holding hands. You can't do it. Amen. You can't walk with God, hold hands with the devil. And I better get going because Elder Gibbs already said we're going to have to leave early. I don't want to leave too early because they leave too early. I was like, man, that might make me feel it. No, I can't. We all got to leave. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of, you know what? This is talking about overflowing foolishness, naughtiness, and receive. The way that we transform from the world to the word is we have to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is what? The world can't save your soul. Only the word. And it can't be one of those extemporaneous outside words, but it got to be a word that gets down. I heard the psalmist say, thy word have I healed. Anybody want to hide the word in their heart? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not. Only the word can transform you so that you will not sin against God. But be ye doers. Now, follow this. Be ye doers of the word and not. When you just hear the word and you don't live the word, then you do what? Deceive. A lot of times we come to church and we hear the word. But then when we walk out, we do our own thing, right? So you're just a hearer, and when you don't put that word into action or practice, you will deceive yourself. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face. You know what? You look in the mirror, right? You hear the word, and this is the correlation or the comparison. You look in the mirror, but straightway he going his way and forget what he looked like because he's just a hearer of the word. If I'm going to come to church, I don't want the word of God to find a lodging place in my heart. Amen? But whoso looking into the, I don't know what to do. I don't know which direction to take, so I got to look into the law. When you look into God's word, you won't be bound. Now, I'm not going to mess with this too much, but too many of us are spiritually bound. Because we're not acting out the word.
say, wow, why do you look, why do you act, why is your expressions like that? It's because you're not looking into the perfect law of liberty. Now, when I was in school, I did take some psychiatry and psychology, and what we learned in psychiatry and psychology, it apply. Your body language says more than your mouth says. Amen. Your body language. If I come to church like this, how are you? Oh, I'm okay. No, you're okay. Right? You look bad. Amen. Young people, y'all can help me? Can somebody get me this? I like all young people to smile. Come on, young people, y'all talk to y'all seriously. Y'all smile. Let me know that's a good body language. Amen. But if you're a young person in your church like this, like, Pastor, you need to just hurry up and get out of here. Your body language. Hey, I like that. Everybody's, thank you, young people. God bless you. All y'all young people, thank y'all. All y'all in the corner, thank y'all. All y'all, thank y'all. Your body language will say more than your words ever say. Amen. So it's important in looking into God's perfect law, we should reflect. Our reflection should be the what? The word. Amen. When we expect, you look into the perfect law of liberty, then when I begin to walk, I'm stepping in the word, right? I'm not stepping in the world, because when I step in the world, nobody knows what I'm doing. So I need to step in the word, I need to hear the word, then I need to put the word in practice. Amen. Go to verse 26. If any man among you sin, and some people haven't let go yet, they just still holding on to the word. So they seem to be religious and something go wrong. Like, I thought you were saying. You use that kind of language? You act like that? In any sin, y'all gonna help me? I must be in a bad spot right about now. Somebody seeming to be religious. Well, how do you know if you're religious, son? You real saying. And what? Right? So I'm saying, so I'm going to do what? I got some self-control. Because the tongue, the Bible says, is a deadly poison. It's a world of iniquity and no man. So if I'm really saying, I'm working on this. This is me. I'm working on me. I got to work on a whole lot of stuff. Because a whole lot of stuff come here, but thank God I'm able to put on a stop sign before it comes out. I didn't say it's trying to come out. It's trying to come out. It goes past the yellow to the yield. It goes past the green, but thank God, God has a reverse light. The red's at the bottom. So it stops. But if you are really saved, you won't. Look at somebody and say, you won't seem religious. Because you will keep a bridle on your... Y'all gonna sleep with me? All right. We're trying to let go of... You gotta let the world go. It's impossible to please God walking in the world. Amen? He said, bridle on his tongue, but deceive it. That's when you seem to be religious. You let anything come out, and you say, I'm saved. You just deceive yourself. You deceive your own heart. This man, well, yeah, nobody don't hear no vain religion, right? This man, why? Because he's going through the motions of being saved. But when he gets put to the test, some of the wrong stuff come out. Some wrong actions come out. This man seems, you know, I got so many scriptures. By the way, it's Friday night, we're going to have service here. We're going to be with Pastor Thomas at the Church of Jesus Christ. All right, while everybody's got everybody's attention, Friday night, we'll be at the Church of Jesus Christ. I got so many scriptures, I can't even finish them. And if I don't stay on course, I get more coming than coming out. Amen. Seem to be religious. people know when you're really saved. The world, the church knows who's really saved because you will order yourselves aright. And no one won't have to question you, amen? Purity. That's what I want. Anybody want purity? And what? Before the world. Before the saints. Undefiled before God is this what? Visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. But the main thing is they do what? Keep themselves. You don't look like the world. That's pure religion. That's undefiled before God. Somebody say, whoa, I'm in trouble. We all in trouble. But it's time to let some stuff go. There's some things, some ways, some habits that we've developed that's not like God. Pure religion. Anybody want to be pure? You better want to be pure because only the pure in heart shall see God. Pure religion and an undefiled before God. You visit the fathers and the widows, but you keep yourselves. You don't get stained. You know what? Unspotted means you get stained. Now, everybody know what a stain is, right? When you get a stain, you try to cover it up, begin stuff. I don't want to be embarrassed. Well, as a saint of God, when we act like the world, we get a stain. And everybody knows that we're not saved because the stain cannot be clean. When we're not saved. You don't see what I know. This ain't a Sunday message, right? Well, how many want to be saved? And if more people come out on Friday, I want the Sundays. But I'm really concerned as a church. How do we think we are mixing all the world in the church that we saved? Amen? The Bible says in the last days there's going to be what kind of falling away? A great fall. That's the church. Well, what's the falling away? The church is starting to act, look, talk, and walk like you got to let it go. You can't keep walking for God and acting like the world. Amen. I want to go to, let's go to James chapter 4, I believe. Yeah, James, let's go to James chapter 4. And then I'm going to read something to you. All right. I know this ain't a shouting message. But the devils can shout, and they only went to hell without a recourse. Amen. I believe this is James chapter 4. I lost my place in my notes. Amen. James chapter 4. Yeah, we start with verse 4. James 4 and 4. Now we're talking about letting some things go. Now, who sets the standards for salvation? Who sets the standards for holiness? I heard y'all had a holiness good time last week, right? Sister Bloomfield talked about holiness. Then old man, he came back and talked about the second coming of the Lord to tie in holiness. But who sets that standard of holiness? Listen, if you read when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, what was the first commandment he gave them? Right? Exodus chapter 19 was the first commandment. Before he gave them the 10 commandments, he gave them one commandment. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And he tells them, and he said, you want to be a peculiar treasure. And Peter said, we are a peculiar people. Amen. He said, you want to be a priest, a holy priesthood. And Peter said, we are a holy nation. Everything that he told them when they came out is what Peter told us. We got to do. So, holiness. Look at somebody's holiness. That's right. But you can't be holy if you look like the world. I don't care what standard, man, how they twist and turn it, right? So verse 4 said, ye adulterers and adulteresses. What kind? This is what? Spiritual. Right? Because I'm married. My wife is married. This is my wife, in case y'all don't know. Right? Not my line kid. If I'm married and I'm going to visit another woman, that's called adultery. So I can't have a wife and a girlfriend and a this friend and a that friend and a creative friend and a friend that I'm busting after in my own heart because Jesus said you're still committed. Right? So I can't be all messed up like that. I gotta be pure. I gotta be single of eyes. I gotta be plain. Well, how can we be with God and visiting the devil? And I'm saying, you can't serve two masters. Because you love one, you hate the other. Are you a hope to one? You cannot serve. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that? That one letter is messing up the word again. It's the what?
The world.
Friendship of the world is. You gotta let some worldly stuff go. Well, I'm in the world. Yeah, Jesus did address that too. He said, you're in the world, but you're not. Y'all want to talk to me? You're in the world, but you're not of the world. Stop acting worldly. You gotta let, well, I feel like a square. I feel different if I act like this. Jesus said, if you be ashamed of me, yeah, y'all want to talk to me or what? You be ashamed of me before the world. I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. I might not look like, I might not talk like you, but I'm on my way to heaven, and I heard somebody say, I'm so glad. I'm not going to mar my holiness looking and acting like the world. I'm not going to let the world dictate to me, because I'm on my way to heaven. When I start mixing and messing and blending it all together, the Bible says that friendship with the world is enmity. Come on, son. Can somebody just say, ouch? Dude, the church ain't looking like the church at all. I ain't gonna mess with some of the stuff, some of our more popular bishops and stuff. You know, I'm just saying, the church ought to be the church. Right? Paul said, please God, by the foolishness of preaching the same. How come we gotta get all these gimmicks now? What, God changed? Well, Jesus Christ is saved yesterday, today, and forevermore. Now all of a sudden, Jesus Christ is on popularity. No, I don't mess with that. Right? I'm saying he's the same. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to say this. Do you believe? Then believe the word. Amen. Whosoever therefore would be a friend, you gotta let the world go. If you're gonna hold on to the world, it says you're the what? You gotta let some stuff go. Amen. Now we're approaching God as a living sacrifice, but we wanna let some stuff go. And when I heard Jesus say, if any man will come after me, let him. There's some stuff we got to let go. Pick up his cross, which is identified with suffering, and follow me how often? You can't take days off of salvation. You got to follow him daily. Amen. Do you think that the scripture says in vain that the spirit that lusts, that dwelleth in us lusts to envy? But he giveth more grace. Well, we said, God, help me, Lord. I said, help me, Lord. Help me, Holy Ghost. God resisted the ones that won't let go of the world. We're talking about the world, right? And then saying, well, you're proud, that means you won't let it go. God resisted the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. Now, I want to ask you some questions. Amen. Is your salvation mechanical? Are you just going through the motions? Or are you really saved? Amen. And we're going to go over some things a little later. Elegance, I'm saying, of course. Amen. Salvation is easier than many people think. If they blindly follow the world. So you can be saved, but the opposite of being saved is blindly following the world in the pleasures of sins or a spiritual mechanical indifference, better known as mechanical salvation. Mechanical salvation, all you have to do is go through the motions. Amen. As I used to play sports when I was an athlete years ago. Amen. And we learned in playing sports, real athletes don't go through the motions. Amen. All right. I lift weights, but I'm not a real weightlifter. I go through the motions. Minister Simon really lifts weights. So there's a difference, right? So when you go through the motions, you look like me. Right? But when you really lift weights, you look like him, right? So a lot of us are going through the motions of being saved, but there's no real evidence that we are sincere. Because we like to mix the world standards with God's standards. So we go through the motions of being saved, but there's some elements that we have not yet let go of. Can I get an amen? And it says that mechanical salvation. Now God wanted Israel to consider and contemplate whether their devotion and worship to him was in spirit and in truth. All right, Jesus said, you got to discern me in what? Worship me in. So God wanted to know, is your worship in spirit and in truth, or are you just going through the motions? Do you come to church because you want to worship God, or do you come to church because I'm going through the motions? And even though my body don't feel like, I want to feel like I'm going to still upset, I praise the Lord and give him the praise, but I don't want to go through the motions. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. What is he looking for? Somebody to worship him in. Some people said, a lot of people got the spirit, but when they walk out those doors, their life don't have no truth. You can't worship God hypocritically by worshiping through the standards of the world, amen? Now, pastors and leaders of today are honestly confessing that the great and lamentable sin of God's people is that they are not fully devoted to God. Pastors everywhere are saying they come to church, but they don't have no real devotion. They're not fully devoted because if something happens that they don't like, then they get mad and take it out of God, and they don't come to church. If things don't go like they wrote it in their plan of salvation, though it may conflict with God's plan of salvation, they get mad and go to another church. Right? Because they don't want to conform to the standards of holiness, they get mad when it ain't like they want it to be because they're not fully devoted. They're not committed. Amen. When a rubber meets the road, alright, somebody else can do it. You ever hear that? Somebody else can do it? Forget about it. Somebody else's devotion is not your devotion. Are you fully devoted? Amen. They do not give themselves up to holy following. Holy means everything. You know, it's like, God, there's a need in the church. And I planned this years ago. I'm not going to use examples. You just, you know, let me talk about holy. Not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy means everything. Lord, all I have is yours. Right? I'm not going to skimp and hold back on God. But the church does not have full devotion. They no longer will wholly follow the Lord. If somebody says something I don't like, I'll show them. You don't have to show them because God sees. Amen? So we're talking about letting go. Right? Letting go of some standards of some worldly things that have left an impression on the church. Is it not true that flesh-pleasing and self-seeking interests, distinct from that of Christ, make us neglect our spiritual duties and responsibility to be faithful to God? Flesh-pleasing, self-seeking, will make us neglect our spiritual duty and responsibility to God. Not only will it make us neglected, we would say, I don't have accountability and I'm not responsible. We're trying to distinguish, a short distinction between the world and the church. When everything is about your self-gratification and pleasing you, you will mess up when it comes to God. Amen. Now I want to give you a couple of scriptures here for that one. Amen? You can write this down if you like. Luke 8:14 says, and that which fell among thorns are they which have heard, go forth, and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of what? This world, and they bring no fruit to perfection. Somebody said, by now you should have matured more spiritually than that. The focus is in the wrong direction. Because we need to let some things go. That word, that Jesus, listen, if Jesus tells you what the seed did, he's not going to make a mistake. He said, it chokes the word, and it makes you unfruitful. And believe that's what he says in Matthew. And then in Luke, he said, you bring no fruit to perfection because of the cares of this life and self-gratification. So we want to change. Amen. When God examines me, Lord, I don't want to say, I want to be able to say there's nothing between me and the Savior. When you can examine me. I don't care how I mess up in your eyes, even though I should. I'm more concerned with God. Amen. But then, this is what Galatians 1 and 10 says. For do I now persuade men or God? I'm trying to be like Christ. I'm trying to get it together. I'm trying to no longer conform to this world. But do I persuade men? If, he goes on to say, if I persuade men, then I am not the servant of Christ. Which there's some things the church has to let go. Amen? Y'all with me still? Alright, don't leave me. Alright. A lot of us have reduced serving God to being cheap. I ain't gonna mess with your money. Don't tell someone you. Alright, don't worry about money. Money, that Jesus, that's a perishable use. Money don't mean nothing. If money was something, I told you I had a job offering me $90 an hour, I could have taken it. Right? But it's not about the money. Right? Amen. Maybe a little bit about money. All right. What I'm saying is not about the money. But some of us are selling God cheap. What places the true value on your salvation is not money. But what do you do with what God has given you? Right. Are you fully devoted? Are you fully committed? Are you selling God cheap? You know, when I feel like I will, when I don't feel like I won't, you know. How can you say my service to God is not holy? All right, we're going to get to that too. Amen. Y'all know I ain't going to go nowhere and not have something to back me up, right? Do we not do so in the most applauded way? Do we not withdraw ourselves from that which would cost us the most? You know. Now, I'm going to say this. My uncle, like I said, is 80-something years old, and there were some people that weren't in his church, and there were some people in his church, and they lived 2 hours away and had surgery. And they said the first face he saw when they woke up 2 hours away was their pastor. Because there's nothing that we should, as saints of God, when someone is in need, and I heard Edna's and Dan's testimony last week, that was very good. We should be sensitive to the needs. All right, so don't say that too long, right? But I'm saying, how are we selling God cheap? How we won't give God everything? Because there's some things in the world that we will not let go of. All right, I'm going to skip some of this. You know, let me ask you this way. What do we seek? The things of this world or the things that are from heaven? I mean, ultimately, what do we seek? And Paul said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are and not things. Well, when you won't let go, you keep messing with the things from the earth, from below. as a church, we have to change. Let's go to Malachi chapter 6. Malachi chapter 6. No, Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, sorry. If anybody tried to find Malachi chapter 6, y'all don't know y'all wife. All right. Malachi chapter 1. Now we're talking about presenting our bodies what? Now we're going to go through this because this really gives us a clearer picture of how we are not presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice. How we are holding on to too many things of the world. How we are the friend of the world, but we're not the friend of Christ. In John 2:15, the Bible says, love not the things of the world, right? Love not the things of the world. Say, if any man love the world, then the love of the Father. Yes, it is. Well, why would God spend time to write that in there? Because the world is always going to be in direct opposition to the child of God living right. Love not the world by the things in the world. For all that's in the world is the what? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That pride of life is self-seeking, self-fulfilling. And when it will always rival God. Yet we do have to be in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. Amen. Malachi chapter 6. Chapter 1, sorry, again. Chapter 1 and verse 6. Now, we talk about sacrifice. Amen. And I'm not trying to get none of y'all's money. Because whatever the church does is going to be based on what God does anyway. As we went over on Friday, he that believeth, all things are possible. So we're not, don't be carnal minded and think we're talking about money. We're talking about your soul. When you leave, I believe it was Paul told Timothy, he said, you bought nothing in this world. And it's for certain when you leave, you won't take. The only thing that you're going to take out of this world when you leave is your soul. So we're concentrating on your soul today because we want to be saved. Amen. You can have everything else, but if you don't have Christ in his favor, we're lost. Verse 6 reads, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. God says, now, if I then be a father, where's my honor? A son honors his father and his servant his master. He said, if I, where's my honor? Amen. If I be a father, where's my honor? And if I be a master, where's my fear? Said the Lord of hosts, O priests that despise my name. And he say, wherein have we despised thy name? He said, he offered. Now, when you present, this polluted bread is, they used to put 12 loaves of bread on the altar, represented by the 12 tribes. But when the bread got old, they were supposed to remove it and put in new bread, and that's why David got the show bread. You know, the Bible talks about David got the show bread, right? Because they removed the old and put in the new. Well, what the priests were doing, they were just leaving the bread on the altar and just letting it mold and rot. And this is unto who? God. He said, you say, when have we polluted thee? He said, and that ye say the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for service, is it not? We're talking about what kind of sacrifice, amen? Y'all with me, sir? What they would do is they said, listen, I can't do anything with that animal because it's blind. So since I can't do anything with it, I might as well give that to the Lord. Right? But they had something better. We give that to God. I need that for myself. So he said, if you give to the Lord something blind, is that not? We're supposed to honor the Lord the first fruit of all of our increase. What we honor God, right? He said, wait a minute, you give God something blind because you can't use it? We should give God our best, amen? And if you offer the lame and we're talking about sacrifice. We're talking about giving to God. You can't give God anything that's blind. You can't give him anything that's lame. But if you give him anything that's sick, he said, that is a living sacrifice. We have to present ourselves. In presenting ourselves, are we giving God what we want to give him, but we're not giving him our best? We need to let some things go. We gotta let them go because it's too much of an influence from the world. He said, now, offer that now to thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Said the Lord of hosts. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your will hearing. He said, you know what, Israel, you're in this deplorable spiritual condition because of what you've given God. Right? Because you should be giving God your best. Amen. All of our best is not the same. That's why the scriptures say, according to the measure of faith, according to the measure that God has given to you, you get back. But your measure should be to the fullest. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. Amen. I forget what chapter of Romans. I think it's Romans chapter 12, or 10, the latter part. Say we comparing ourselves with ourselves and measuring ourselves by ourselves, you're not wise. So my standard for godliness and holiness is what God requires of me. Your standard is what God requires of me. You and every last one of us know when we can give God more than we give him. But we're allowing the influences of the world to influence us. So we give it, when we come to church, now, this ain't for y'all, this is for other people. You're going to give me what? This ain't talking about y'all. You can't come to church on a Sunday morning and give God a blind praise. Yeah, right? You can't come to church on a Sunday morning and give God a dead, half-dead praise or worship. When I come to church, I gotta give God mine. Yes. If I give him anything less than my best, it is evil. Yes, Lord. Hey, do me a favor. If y'all gonna throw a rock, throw a big rock. To give me a chance to duck behind the podium. Amen? But what are we giving God? We're supposed to be giving God our best. But we give God something that a man won't even take. Amen? He said, will he regard your person, said the Lord of hosts? Who is that even among you that will shut the door for nothing? God said, now, nobody's just going to open and close the door. You're going to just stand there and open and close the door all day? You ain't going to do that for nothing, right? He said, well, why do you kindle a fire on my altar? Right? For when you put a fire on the altar, it was for a sacrifice. God said, why are you bringing something to the altar that you know I won't accept? It is for. And so I'm going to help me. What? Y'all get quiet. I'm going to hurry up and finish. He said, I have no pleasure in you, said the Lord of hosts. Neither. God said, I'm not going to accept that. God said, you may give me stuff that the world don't even want. A man won't take. God said, you've been doing it. He said, I'm not accepting that. Because God requires a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable unto him. I wonder if God examined us today. Will he say that we are wholly following him? Will God say that we are coming up short when it comes to following him? Or will God say, I will accept your offering? Amen. And I'm about to close. While we testify and speak of the realities which are from above, do we not idolize the things and pleasures of this world? We speak of heaven. But we idolize the things of the world. Somebody said, I don't idolize the things of the world. You know what it means? You have a chance to do something for God, but you will opt out of doing for God to do for the world. You have an opportunity. There's a person that's been struggling with their salvation. They don't have to be in this church. You know they're struggling, but you're just too busy trying to make some money at your job that you won't even write a note and say, you know what, God loves you, and he'll bring you through. You don't have to do a whole lot, but we need to start doing something. Amen? So we speak, we testify, we talk about God, but when the opportunity presents itself for us to do something, we won't do it. Well, you know, they say in the job place, you can't mix God in the workplace. God knows how to fix that stuff. Stop using all those excuses. God knows. All right. In the workplace, you can't mix God. You know, and this is what irritates me when I deal with people. You can't mix God, but then they can tell all those filthy, ungodly, dirty jokes. And you can laugh at that. God forbid. All right? We can't keep talking about God, but then acting like the world. We can't testify of God's goodness, but then we idolize the things of the world. Somebody said, Pastor, we thought you were going to come back with some fire. God don't need no fire, because he's matches all by himself. So what remains to be said, brethren and sisters, but to cry that we are all guilty of trying to win and ensure our relationships and friendship with the world while appeasing our godly conscience by courting God, right? Everybody know about courting, right? Oh, most of y'all been married. You know, when you're courting. Y'all know about courting? When you're courting someone, you want to put your best foot forward because you want to win their favor, right? Like when I was courting my wife, I didn't court her not to marry her. I courted her to marry her, right? So in courting, you want to put your best foot forward. But a lot of us are courting God, right? Well, we got some girlfriends and some stuff on the side. Because we haven't made a full commitment to God. A full commitment to God is I don't use excuses. Amen? Just they teach you about courting. You see, you're smiling real hard over there. You better watch out. You know how your mom is. But courting, you put your best foot forward. Now, what as a kid growing up, you know, I grew up in the South. You can't be courting five or six people at the same time. Right? If you're courting, especially if you're in church, that courting is supposed to lead to what? Now, it ain't supposed to be no spiritual playboys and spiritual playgirls in church. Right? A spiritual playboy and a spiritual playgirl? I can have everything I want just as long as I'm satisfied? No, sir. No, ma'am. There ain't no spiritual courting in church. You can't be, yeah, I know God today, and then you see somebody over there drinking, smoking, and doing all that stuff tomorrow. Like, wait a minute. What God are you serving? Amen. So you can't be spiritually courting the world and its influences and God at the same time. It does not work. God doesn't have spiritual playboys and spiritual playgirls. That's a dual thing, too. Amen. If you're in church in a relationship, you know, I don't know nobody in a relationship too much. I know a little bit, y'all. But it's for one purpose. It's to honor God. Right? The church ain't the world. How in the world is it? The church. Yeah, but we're just going to be courting for like the next 10 years. I ain't going to the LA reality show talking about nobody either. So I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? I ain't messing with that. I just ain't going to mess with the preachers of LA. Oh, ouch. So, ain't no way in the world God has his people courting somebody from some 10 years. Somebody said, well, I was divorced and I can't get married, then you ain't supposed to be in a relationship. Right. We just talking about God's way or the world's way. Amen. Only one God judges right and wrong. Spiritual playboys and playgirls. I mean, they just do anything. Get up here, speech, and do all that stuff. A lot of them, I won't even turn on the TV because I don't want that spirit. Amen. I'm not going to let that spirit pass on to me. the church need to let some things go. We need to make an honest evaluation of how much does my salvation mean? What things am I holding on to that I should have let go? I'm almost finished. Amen? We need to humble ourselves in lamentation before the Lord for spiritual adultery, which we daily commit in attempting to love and hold on to the Lord and the world together. It does not work. We need to really examine ourselves. The scriptures say, examine yourself to see whether you're in the what? It's in the world. You want to know, are you in the faith or not? You don't need anybody else to examine you. The scripture says, if we would judge ourselves as we all stand, that's enough. I'm not going to give you any more scripture. That's enough. All right? As the elders, the ministers, and all the workers come forward, it's time for the church to stand up to the plate. If we don't cut out some of this ungodly foolishness that we are now doing in the church, can we say in the church? God is looking for a church that is called by his name. In Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 4, God's indictment against his people was this. And this is unfortunately the spiritual playgirl in the church. Seven women will take hold to one man. That ain't God. God never intended that a man should leave his mother, father, and cleave to his wife, and between shall be one flesh. Right? But Isaiah says seven women will take hold of one man. Then the problem is that let us wear what we want to wear. We don't want to go by the standards of holiness. Then let us eat what we want to eat. But just let us be called by that. We got something we need to let go of. The only way that we can be pleasing to God is we need to do God's will. Amen? So repeat after me. There are some things.
There are some things.
Say it like you really believe. There are some things.